our sweet gathering for these 2 days at hand and here to praise his holy name. The doxology, 231? It's 234, or the doxology after your first hymn and the music ones. Ascended to our Heavenly Father. I think the nicest way to open the convention is to have a telegram read, which we don't, not very often that we get a telegram, but guess from whom? Greetings to all gathered in convention, Sister Paula Sodomant. Titus 2:14. Anybody with a Bible at hand, please turn to 2:14. Titus 2:14. 1 John 3:24. I'm sure that we are in her heart and mind as we are, and we've been endeared to her and have appreciated the call of the Lord, certainly, in her case. Downstairs, at the far end of the hall, there's a scroll. In searching for the Lord during a 30-year period, searching, about 5 years ago, she commenced to study the Bible in the sense of dotting down from Adam the chronology right through for 7,000 years without the contact of Bible students. There are some little flaws in it, but inconsequential in the sense when you think in 3 years, 5 years ago, developing that, you'll find it most interesting. All right, let's read our text then that she mentioned in Titus, please, who has that? 2:14. All right, thank you.
Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works.
Yes, a peculiar people. And one thing that she desired and anxious for the Lord to have answered was to meet with the brethren, with a group of people, and especially to take memorial with them, with the body. She had once or twice taken it by herself, but just felt there was another piece of the loaf that was missing. She wanted to be with the brethren. 1 John 3:24. Volunteers are the best. Please, Margaret.
And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he hath given unto us.
Thank you very much. From Sister Paula Sodomant, way over in Belgium, in a little country 40 miles by 100, with a population of 9 million. So we'll bear her up in our prayers. In ancient times, before the Christian era, in the presence of the gathering of the nation of Israel for various reasons, sometimes it was to rally them together because of a cause of war the enemies were about to attack, the priest blew on the silver trumpet, and they blew a different tone than what they would blow when it was a gathering for worship of the Lord and the reverence, and throughout the country they would blow the silver trumpet. We thought how appropriate that we in the Christian dispensation have been called upon likewise, especially us here. There had been 6 trumpets blowing, and whoever lived in that dispensation heard their message, but you and I are living in the time of the 7th trump, and he shall descend from heaven with a shout. And that 7th trump, isn't it? And it's beautiful in its melody, and it rings in our hearts and our minds. The psalmist said, as a consequence, I was glad. At times when they were called to gather together, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. And I'm sure in our prayers we have felt that way as we would gather here. And while it's in our friends, Christian friends, Adventist Church, the time being, at least we are sure the Lord will be here with us. The silver trumpets were blown by the priests, and here we have a mutual gathering of under priests that are gathered here to blow the trumpet. You may feel that the responsibility really rests upon the speakers up here, but we would like to inform you that it is equally your responsibility to blow the trumpet to one another in your conversations and by our brethren who will have prepared their meeting. Now, a little story goes like this. Your part in God's work. And whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. It has been said the work of God in the world is given out as piecework among his children. Many Christians think they are too insignificant to be associated with God in his great work. They feel that their part would never be missed, but this is not true. Sir Michael Costa, a noted conductor, was once rehearsing a great orchestra and chorus. At one point, a tremendous sound was produced by the thunder of a mighty organ, the rolling of drums, and the great crescendo of all other instruments. The piccolo player said to himself, "With so much volume, my little instrument doesn't really matter." So he stopped playing. Suddenly, the maestro signaled the orchestra, and the music came to an abrupt halt. In the stillness of that moment, Costa shouted, "Where's the piccolo?" To each believer, God gives a special gift, each one of you. The Bible says that he divides severally as he wills, 1 Corinthians 12:11. Centuries ago, God said to Moses, "What is that in thine hand?" Nothing but a rod, Moses said. And to Dorcas in the New Testament, he could have asked the same question. "What is that in thine hand?" "Oh, just a needle, Lord." She would have replied, "But the garments fashioned by it have come to represent good works that are pleasing to God." Perhaps you are serving God in an obscure place, not in a place of prominence, thinking that your labor for him is insignificant, also useless. Take courage in God's work. Your part is always important. So we ask today, where's the piccolo player? Each one of us can play our little part in this harmony of the blowing of the seventh trumpet. It is a great thing to do a little thing well. So we are in the days of small things, brethren, but our responsibility remains the same, doesn't it? We are piccolo players, and we have a part in this wonderful, beautiful theme. The song of Moses and the Lamb that blends so perfectly together. So we believe that the objective of our brethren as they prepared their lesson would have this in mind, this very fact that we're here to share together the beautiful harmony of the seventh trumpet that rings and rings and rings. And as that trumpet blew at Mount Sinai on the early morning of the third day, the scripture says it grew loud and longer. Loud and louder and louder and longer and longer, and it'll blow for 1,000 years, won't it, brother? Now we have the first musician today, Brother John Altsui. I'm sure he'll play then more than a piccolo, as we have enjoyed his services in the past. And so we'll ask Brother John, please come up here to the front for us. And our brother Don Cannell will ask the Lord's blessing upon his services. His subject will be testings. And we're going to sing 196. We have for Brother John to commence this service. 196.
Our loving Father, who art in heaven, we do lift our hearts and our minds to thee in praise and gratitude for all thy goodness to us, for the privilege of being assembled at this convention. We seek thy presence with us. We especially ask thy blessing upon our dear brother John Altsui as he discourses to us. May we realize that his words are thy words, that they come from thee, and the lessons presented are for our benefit as new creatures in Christ Jesus. We would ask too, Father, thy continued blessing upon the further services of this day and upon thy people wherever they find themselves at this time. We do thank thee then, Father, for the manifestation of thy blessing in this privilege of being assembled here, and we commit the interests of this hour and this day into thy care and into thy keeping, and we do render to thee all the thanks and praise in the precious and loving name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. With that, brethren, we welcome you to the convention in 1989 here in Vancouver. And may the Lord bless you as we sit together at the feet of Jesus. Brother John, please.
I might be one, but yeah. Thank you, Brother Charles. Dear brethren and sister in Christ, I and Sister Mary are very grateful to our Heavenly Father who gave us that opportunity to be at that convention again with you. We greatly appreciate the privilege to be with our brethren and to share the blessing which we believe the Lord will provide for us. We bring you greeting from two ecclesia from Winnipeg, namely Polish-Ukrainian, which is one ecclesia, and English, where is Brother Frank, as brethren know. And I'll take that opportunity now and will say few words about our privilege which we had last year to be in Poland. Committee of Polish Brethren last year asked me to visit brothers in Poland. There's over 100 ecclesia. To visit all them, we need about half a year. But we visited over 20, biggest one, and we received great blessing. That brethren in Poland, as brethren know, they went through many different experiences, especially during Second War, because it was during German occupation, and later on, similarly, it was not the same as brethren had before and not the same as brethren have now. But it's strange maybe that among Slavic people lately there have been many brethren called. And the same in Poland, the same as in United States, Canada, lately they have a trial too, because some different understanding and so on. But despite all that, the brethren are zealous, and many of them are working in the Lord's field as brethren here. We had, I and Sister Mary, opportunity to visit those ecclesia, and I had discourse on many topics. Of course, there have been some questions and so I did avoid any unnecessary dispute as much as I could, and I didn't have it, because I didn't want to dispute, but to encourage and to bring message as possible and to encourage brethren as possible from the Word of God, and we believe that we had been prospering that. For this, I am very grateful to our Heavenly Father. But brethren, when we went home from every ecclesia, and I'll mention some, because we have some Polish brethren who knows. And excuse me that I will say a few words in Polish, because we have few brethren who don't understand English at all. So for benefit of them, I will have a few words. Więc, drodzy bracia, pozdrowienie jest od braci polsko-ukraińskich z Winnipegu i angielskiej klasy. Co teraz ja chcę powiedzieć, że bracia zwykle wiedzą, myśmy mieli możliwość być tamtego roku w Polsce. Odwiedziliśmy ponad 20 zgromadzin, tych większych, bo tam jest, jak bracia wiedzą, około 100. Z tych gromadzin myśmy mieli wielkie błogosławieństwo. Z tych gromadzin, a to są takie: Warszawa, Lublin, Romanówka, Zamość, Bielgoraj, Jasło, Krosno, Kraków, Zakopane, Miechów, Chrzanów, Bielsko, Białograd, Gdańsk, Białystok, Olsztyn, Mysłowice, Chrzanów. Od tych wszyscy bracia przysyłają pozdrowienie dla braci. All those what I mention now, Ecclesia, are sending greeting to the brethren. Then they ask me whenever I will be to send love and greeting to the brethren. Now, our topic is testing days. Testing, the word testing, we won't find in the Bible. It is rather, in the Bible we'll find tempting, trials. But testing is a rather modern English word. So, tempting and trial, I would say, in some way, are synonyms. But we can say that we are tested by temptation and by trial. It would be right. From those who draw near to God, who accept the gospel message, God is selecting, choosing a bride for his son. After our consecration, the Lord is watching our steps continually. How are we submitting ourselves and how we are crucifying our flesh? He wants to know our progress, our disposition too, in changing the character, how godly seed develop, are it progressing in harmony with the divine will? In proposition, as we manifested the spirit which actuated our Lord, love for the truth and everything what is right, and willingness and promptness to fight against all sin in ourselves, we shall be copy of Jesus. We are tested along this line, maintaining proper zeal and energy in that respect, and proving to be faithful unto death, we shall receive promised reward, the price of the high calling. Today, during Christ's second present, the Lord people are receiving great light, greater than any time before. By faith, we are by the master table, and he himself is serving us, Luke 12:37. Apostle Paul said that we are seated in heavenly places. But in spite of this wonderful spiritual blessing, there is a great delusion and error and deceptive teachings abounding around us. Apostle Paul in Thessalonians 2:8-12 is telling us about this. He said that God will send or permit delusion. For those who didn't receive the truth with love, with great appreciation, God will send or permit strong delusion. This delusion will be in many different forms, and it will lead to some form of rebellion. Didn't like this and that. It may be asked, why should the Lord permit the adversary to exercise such deception? It is question might be. Those who don't know deeply and really love God and his truth will fall and will be deceived and will believe in a lie. Bible tell us that. But why so? Because they once heard and understand but did not appreciate properly. It very much and slowly they turned from the truth and had pleasure in error and unrighteousness, not necessarily gross wickedness, but some measure of wickedness slowly and some measure of unrighteousness at the beginning. After a desire for more liberty, or self-will, not so close to divine will, and later preferences for small and bigger error, which would allow such liberty and justify this wrongdoing and silence their conscience and the voice of the truth. That's the way slowly it comes. These who do not fully appreciate the truth are not worthy to have it. To be in the truth, to be in the light, they must go away to other outer darkness. To them, error comes in its most deceitful form, and God allows that. So they easily accept it. They quickly fall prey to the delusion. They are not able to discern it, to recognize it. These trials, brethren, and sifting will come to every one of us, but more closely upon those possessing the larger degree of light of the present truth. The elders are a great target. So it is very important that those who have greater knowledge of the truth should have the Spirit of Christ, which can produce love to God and love to proper respect to brethren, but not pride. Take heed, the Scripture repeatedly exhorts us to be on guard. Luke 21:8, take heed that you be not deceived. Luke 11:35, take heed that the light which is in you be not darkness. 1 Corinthians 3:10, let every man take heed how he builds. In our time, there is fulfillment of statement which Apostle Jude wrote, Jude 6, that angels which kept not the first estate are reserved in chain under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. We believe, brethren, that they are being loosed now and are causing more trouble for humanity and the Lord people. They are being more deceived. We believe that they are leading mankind to greater immorality and to anarchy. We are more and more convinced that what Pastor Russell spoke about, wrote about, is true. We see more and more. And try, if possible, to deceive even the very elect. Matthew 24. It is said that it will be testing such that, if possible, to deceive even elect. But it will be not possible. Very elect, it said. Does mean special chosen. Not only elect, but very elect. Pastor Rossi emphasized this word in 6th volume, and brother, remember, I wasn't conscious about that, but now I'm translating some article from 6th volume to Ukrainian, because we won't send it, door is open. More we will mention about that yet. So I saw it, that he emphasized very elect. Not elect only. That means members of body of Christ. Some of those deception in our days are faith healer, speaking tongues, spiritualist, hypnotism, desire to invent new light. It refers more to the people, Bible student, and to be very important. So we can clearly notice now the tendency to slacken the full consecration, lack of zeal and interest of proclamation of the truth even. Some say it is not necessary that to be had even discussion in that. In Winnipeg, there are some been and wrote to us, not necessary to the public, just among brethren. That is very wrong. Lowering the standard of morality among the Lord people, changing many important doctrine of the present truth. And that what is said, even to say, but we do. Or for such thing, a divided Lord's people lately, like fighting, disagreement about restitution, reigning, millennium, even Christ's presence. So, that is definitely, brethren, that spirit, that Satan with his angel definitely is trying to deceive Lord people, but difference, because those things could be, if we properly understand, could be ironed out between brethren without great, even without turmoil, about so. But if there will be spirit, and we'll mention about spirit of, there's tolerance too in some extent, but spirit of honesty. Spirit, Lord spirit, teachable spirit, that we want to find out really how the situation is, how this, what Pastor Russell said, here and there, not just in one place. So God is testing his people, essential testing, as essential to growing of character. Testing of our Lord started in the wilderness and continue for 3.5 years. But what is very important, that God gives a knowledge before he is testing. We know that testing upon our Lord came when? When he was begotten, and the Bible said that the heaven opened to him, we understand that he received great illumination of mind, and he studied. He studied, it says, 40 day and 40 night. He been meditating and studying how to start his mission, what he has to do, how is the best that he will perform God's will, what in the best way. So, man is not a machine, it's the same with us, but has a free will and intelligence. God respects every man's endowment and act accordingly. He always gives him knowledge before causing him, taking him as responsible for the use of his will, for his behavior. We have a free will, but we can use that will however we want. But before we do, we have God in a way, if, of course, if we try, God will reveal his will. So, knowing God's will we do it? Or something else influence? Building of Christian character, brethren, it is complicated thing. Not one thing, not this. We believe, and we will mention that underlying element is, we know faith has to be, but beside that, honesty, brethren, and obedience. Very important element, and honesty. The degree of responsibility is proportioned to the degree of enlightenment and ability to perform that what he wills. It was in case of Adam, our Lord, Prophet, and the Gospel Church. Only they as individuals have been tested now. It is God's principle of dealing. He gives knowledge, but we are responsible. Progress in the narrow way is a crucial test from the beginning. actually, no one actually wants to go into the darkness, away from the Lord. This test is more crucial from the beginning. Question is, shall we take and keep the path that leads nearer and nearer to the Lord, to have more fellowship with Him, a fuller knowledge of great plan of ages, what is so important? Those we maintain, and we still always maintain, that brethren should study, should read as much as possible, because knowledge is the assurance. Proper knowledge is not everything, but is one rather of the assurance to be, when we test it, to stand, to belong to Lord people. That's why we see in many places apostle tell and he prays that we grow in grace and knowledge of God. Knowledge of God, of His plan, of His character, of His way of doing. It is revealed. It is revealed in the Bible. It is revealed in the example of Christ, of apostle, but even in the prophet. In some prophet, apostle tell that we should look at the prophet even. New creature, yes. But there are some element which we can profit from. So it is revealed to us. We should strive to have a knowledge as much as possible, and more fellowship with Him, a fuller knowledge of the great plan of ages, which is the outworking, and to have more share in the work. Or will we allow self-interest or ambition or spiritual sloth or care of this life to turn us aside from the path of the full consecration as we vote to do? So at the beginning, that test everyone has, and we believe that Satan is trying to take advantage of every opportunity he has, and to find the weak spot. And that's why many consecrated after became less interested, and went many examples we have. The right way is the narrow way, self-abasement, self-denial, way of humility. It requires more effort, for the more we grow in grace and knowledge, the stronger will be the temptation to be boastful, puffed up, high-minded. And we know that we might fall on those points. When, by the grace of God, we are overcoming and are making progress in faith, hope, love, and are more active in the Lord's service, then the adversary and his helper will oppose, will try to hinder our progress too. He will not stop. But if we decide firmly to serve the God and to serve the truth, brethren, to help, God will help us to overcome this temptation. Then we will have a joy, peace, which is beyond comparison, brethren. And Bible tells us, and we believe that every Christian experienced that. And this means it is, we believe, one of the testimony, one of the proof that God accepted us. And if we think deeply and properly, brethren, that we are accepted by God as His children, that's something that should really make us to make decision to stay close to Lord as possible. Because we talk about reward and promises, but even aside this, as Pastor Russell in 6th volume said, even now, the peace we have, understanding, joy, is such that world doesn't have understanding. It is beyond human understanding. They don't know about that. This alone is a great reward, but the reward is actually everlasting life, not only, but to be with the Lord. I quite often think to be with the Lord and to see God. That's something that is hard to comprehend, to see God. And it itself will help us and will enable us to appreciate more the value of being the member of the Lord people. Test of loyalty. We are tested as to our loyalty. What are we willing to endure for Christian sake? How fully are we submitted? Are we wholly in harmony with the will of Lord? After Christian has taken all preliminary steps, we are tested to what extent we will manifest patient endurance and obedience and loyalty. God put us to this test because He has great honor to bestow on those who will be overcomers. They are to be a select company, and they will receive promise. But let him, that's Apostle Brother Russell quotation, and we have more of them, and we will quote. But let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall, for sudden and sharp will be many of the tests applied to prove our continued faithfulness. The world, the flesh, and the devil all conspire to allure, ensnare, and overcome us. The world will present itself through friends, and it could be wife if she is not consecrated. It could be husband if he is not consecrated, or children. They will try to encroach, and that's what Pastor Russell said further, upon the clearly defined line which you have drawn between yourself and the world. They will try you that in different way to suggest that you can go over, encroach, go that way. You have clear line what you should do in your consecration, but go a little over, here and there. That's Pastor Russell. Faith to reproach of the world, weary of the alienation of former friends. Why should we don't have a more friend in the world? We don't have, and our flesh demanded sometimes. And flesh, even we say, that is under control, and the will, old will is down, but it always has a tendency to up, to come up, always. This test, God permits and even desire to have come upon us in order that we may be thoroughly tried and proven either worthy or unworthy of the great reward He has in keeping for those who remain faithful unto death. Honesty. We believe that the importance of quality of honesty is shown by Ananias and Sapphira. Acts 5:1-11. Only honest can make a consecration. We remember, brethren, this in a parable of the seed. Luke 8:15, he said, but that seed which fell on good ground, this start to grow. And then he explained what it is. It is good and honest heart. He explained that way. good and honest heart. Only really honest. But the honesty, as everything else, it has to be kept, it has to be grown. We have to be careful that that honesty will remain and in every situation. So this shows that honesty is so important from the beginning to the end. And the Lord is testing us along this line to what extent we have. It seems that this is like faith, the underlying element upon which proper character could be built and could stand. And quotation, Pastor Russell, reprint 5098. Every true child of God should see to it that he is honest not only in money matters, but in his treatment of his neighbor and his brethren in the church, and above all, about his confession respecting his faith, what we believe. Pastor Ross said, the test is being made along this line, and those who love the favor of man rather than the favor of God will be given opportunity to prove that they are unfit for the kingdom, whatever else they might be fit yet, but not for the kingdom class. Apostle tell us in 2 Thessalonians 2:11, when speaking of this evil day, that God will send strong delusion, that a certain class may believe in a lie, because they were not honest, but acted deceitfully, hypocritically. Honesty is the basic, we can say, of character. Probably the most valuable trait of character is honesty, as Pastor Russell, quotation 2. Where there is a little honesty, he said, there's a little character. Where there is great honesty, there's great character. We mean not merely in dollars. The quality that made Jesus love them, mean apostle, was, I believe, first of all, their honesty. It seems to me there is no quality more estimable in the sight of God than honesty. That Pastor Russell quotation too. Should not everybody be honest? I answer yes. Is everybody honest? Evidently not. The honesty which this disciple manifested was that they were ready to confess that they were nothing of themselves. They could not keep the law of God. They could not think of themselves as somebody. They knew, as all Jew knew, or ought to know, that God had given them the law as the standard. They were honest enough to confess it. Their nearest, they were for that, the attitude to look as the law, that in that way, that was something that they couldn't fulfill. And they confess it, that as we know, Apostle Paul too, even after consecration, he said that in his body, sin is. We are inclined to believe, brethren, that the greater sin of the church, even among the consecrated people, among believers, is the sin of dishonesty, the sin of which divine disapproval is so excellently illustrated in the case what we mentioned, Ananias and Sapphira. Why? Then, we believe it was at the beginning. Many did like that, but at the beginning, Lord wants to show that he deal only with really honest people. So Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't have to give money. But why telling that they gave all if they didn't give? Dishonest. And Lord will have nothing to do with it. And it says when they die, that the other brethren who saw it, they've been kind of scared. They had the respect. It made them serious, very serious, because they deal with God. And God knows everything. God doesn't want that somebody will cheat, try to cheat. Nobody can cheat God. Nobody. And we can cheat each other. But God knows. If we will have and will not eradicate completely with our heart, it is sure that we can belong to the class, brethren. So how important it is. Pastor Russell, in many places, that's why I took this, emphasize that. Honesty. We have no desire, he said, to distort or to make matters appear worse than they really are. But from our standpoint, the nominal church teams overflows with just such hypocrisy, self-deceived to some extent. These are the tares and imitation wheat, and what characterizes Pharisee. Christ said a few times that they are hypocrites because they pretended. And that what prevented them to, in God's sight, dishonesty, pretending, hypocrisy, it is a great sin, brethren. We should never allow it with one Lord people. Should be honest in everything, in what we believe, why we believe so. Not that we believe something and if somebody will give us proof that it's not so, I will stick to it because we have many evidences. That we say so and so, and then brethren approve, show that it's not. No, I mean, still stick here. He tried to go around and so. If we have many don't realize that, but we should realize as much as possible that to be honest before, we say we are honest before God, but if we not very honest before brethren, your neighbor, we are not honest before God. Do not all have claim to be Christian? They all prefer to be following in the footstep of Jesus, to bear his name, to be his church. Actually, Christendom say that. They like his body and to take up his cross and to follow him. Yet, how comparatively few of the nominal Christian have even thought to do that. But the name applies that. But this profession, they declare that they have sold their earthly possession. It applies again to Sapphira. That made them shown that they are really dishonest in sight of God. As we look at ourselves, we come to realize how imperfect are all members of the fallen race. And when we consider God's perfection, we can conceive of only one quality that the fallen creature would possibly possess, and that would meet with divine approval, even when review from the merit of Christ's attainment, and that he said that quality is only of honesty. Pastor Russell quotation. The true Christian must, in honesty, confess his own shortcoming, his own deficiency. He must, in honesty, acknowledge that his sufficiency is of Lord through Christ and not of himself. He must honestly strive for the standard set before him in the gospel. He must honestly admit that he cannot do the thing that he would. He must candidly and fully accept the righteousness of the Lord in Christ Jesus as the covering for his blemishes. In Psalm 24, 3:5, we read, 24:3-5, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sore deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such people, as mentioned in the psalm, such people are strong and have proper understanding because they have clean hands. They work for the Lord, maybe imperfect, is imperfect, small, but it will be clean, honest, free from pride and pretending. They have pure heart. Their motive, intention, desire are pure. Their aim and endeavor is to glorify God and to bless the brethren. They have not vain worldly ambition, not to be great and famous. They have not sought deceitfully. They try to be best of their ability, to their ability, to keep their covenant with God. Their whole life is sincere and truthful, and they desire to be molded and fashioned after the principle of truth and righteousness. So how worthy have we proved ourselves since receiving the knowledge, brethren? Are we grateful and thankful? Are we active in service and proclaiming the gospel if we have opportunity? Are we really a living epistle of Christ, which the people read and know that we are good people? If we are not zealous for the truth, we are not worthy to have it. And some of the deception of this evil day, which we live, evil day, will surely take us away. We understand that in this time of the Lord's second presence, it is permitted that Satan will do wonders and will try to deceive Lord people very much, and he will deceive many. We should know that well, that Lord permitted this delusion to serve his purpose, to separate sincere and honest from those who are lacking this important quality and are, because of that, unworthy. So, at the end, we read what Apostle Paul said, Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. It means not in one thing only. We will grow in faith, humility, compassion, zeal, patience, trust in God, love to God, love to Lord people, even love to enemy. We should understand, because love to enemy as the last thing, it's not easy, but when we understand why they are enemy, that we maybe were in that position and could be, as Apostle Paul was one in that position, and that they will have an opportunity, so then they will be less enemy in our mind, and we will be able to pray for them, to help them. On account of his own, we will be ready, a willing to suffer, and suffer by suffering. Suffering is very, as we see, very important, another element of proving. Not only we mostly use the testing as a delusion, as error, but suffering is one thing too by which Lord is testing his people. And by suffering, we know that all who are developed, brethren, and who are on the way to develop more and more, that only through suffering can our character be strengthened. We can be strong. We understand when we go through many different stages in our development with suffering, we understand Apostle Paul's word that when I am weak, I am strong. That's something. That seems to me people wouldn't understand. When I am weak, I am weak. But he said, when I am weak, I am strong. When many things which push us down and we think about that and we want to rely on our power, what is very important, we never should forget. As Apostle Paul said, I can do everything but in Christ. And he said he learned many things. He learned how to be in such situation, in such, to be joyful with those who joy, who suffer, be, show that you really sympathize with him. And sincerely, not only mask, but sincerely to come in that situation. And we are able to. We are because we understand, through understanding, deep understanding situation, we are able to progress and to be agent of blessing now very much. And if we want to be the agent of blessing after, and we will be, because once, we should remember this, that whoever, I emphasize that whoever got hold and begot him, he has a potential, brethren. He has a potential to be member, but after he is on track, after many things are important in his life. As we mentioned, honesty is very important. Not pretending, not on. Be ready, be humble, better. And maintain faith. Faith we can maintain only by studying. Because apostle said in one place that they grow from faith to faith. We had little faith, we had enough faith, but not much when we consecrated. We need more, much more faith after. How we will get that faith? Only, brethren, through study and through the proper behavior under the testing, trial, and so on, our faith will grow. Lord will reveal us. If the promise is that will help us in every, will help. But from our part is obedience and honesty. I emphasize those two things. Not we might be honest, okay, but we will be, don't do nothing. We remember then active. Christian has to be very active, has to be energized, has to be quickened. Apostle said, quickened, energized, active. Not slothful, not lazy. Zeal. But it is connect. One thing connect the other. We talked before about appreciation too. To appreciate those things. It's so important. So, dear brethren, believe these few words, I pray, that will be reminded of us who we are and what we strive for. I didn't tell nothing new. We should know those things, but just to remind, as Apostle Peter said, very important to brethren, and I tell that. He said, I know that you know this thing, but I see it proper to remind you this, to remind those things. Because our building of character is thinking, meditating, reminding. That it will deeply and more deeply sink in our mind, in our heart, so deep that it will push us to action. Only then. And when we act properly, then we have more assurance than we the Lord, that he will bless us. We'll have